Hello, everyone. Welcome to At Large. I'm Mike Korthel, your host. With me today is Tiffany Reisner.
See,
I stumbled on that right off. She is a Reiki practitioner, and she lives in Bridgeton, Maine. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background?
I was teaching high school in California, and I was enjoying it, except I had a minor glitch, and I was like, you know, maybe this isn't for me, and I moved to New York. I said, I'm going to pursue a degree in writing. So it went from teaching to creative writing. And I ended up getting another four-year degree. So I have my master's in English. And I love to read books. My friends kept handing me books on meditating. And I thought, why do they keep handing me these books on meditation? And so I started reading them, and they started to make sense to me. You know, a lot of Eastern philosophy, especially with the multiple degrees, you know, they kind of went hand in hand.
And how did you decide to do Reiki?
Well, there was a rabbit hole that I went down for about a year where I was looking into conspiracy theories. And at some point, I wanted to know, how could I use herbs or natural things to heal myself or to keep myself out of the doctors? You know, there must be things that I can take to make my immune system stronger each day, and not do things that
besides weaken. An apple a day.
So there were so many things I was trying, and one of them was frequencies, where if you put the headphones on, there's one frequency coming into this ear and a slightly different frequency on the other ear. And so in the middle of your brain, it's trying to match those frequencies up, and it actually helps your brain. And so I started looking into it, like sleep frequencies, healing frequencies, and then all of a sudden it switched to Reiki and, what is this, healing with sound and healing with different beats. And so that was the point where I hit that.
I
wanted to know more about that.
And what does the training involve? What's your level of proficiency in the practice of Reiki?
Well, I took two courses in New York, and there was a bunch of people there. And when I was there, it was very clear that I was doing something, because we were practicing on each other, and then we were seeing results immediately. And then there was other times where I was laying down and they were practicing on me, and I could feel the results. And I was like, this is a little weird and wacky, but it's working. Like, I couldn't explain it at first. And, you know, when you close your eyes, you can see other people's eyes. It's almost like people in the shadows, but your eyes are closed. And I'd say, I see eyes. And the person next to me would say, yeah, I see that too. And everybody was having these different experiences. And they said, you're channeling. So what does that mean, we're channeling? Oh, you're reaching into the fourth dimension. Oh, I love this stuff, because I'm totally into quantum physics, and I'm into string theories, and I've been reading about that stuff. And so I'm trying to link science to things we can't explain, the things that the Buddhists have been talking about for hundreds of years, you know, trying to make everything make sense.
Quantum physics says that you can be in two places at once.
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
that correct? Right.
That's one of the things. Right. There's also the entanglement theory, you know, where part of you can be separated but still feel it.
Right.
Like, there's some, it's wacky stuff, but they have scientific proof of it. And so you get into Reiki where, you know, they're starting to find scientific proofs for it. They're starting to look into and do different tests for it.
You said you could feel it. Now, what's the feeling when somebody's practicing on you, like you said, practicing? What did you feel initially?
Well, like, I have my jaw pops. Just a little
bit. TMJ.
Okay. Because I clench my teeth when I sleep. And I told them about this problem, and when I'm driving home and I'm talking to my friend, and I went like that, and I go, it's not clicking anymore. I started getting so excited. It actually stopped clicking for like 3 days. And I was like, I don't know how to explain that. You know, it just wouldn't. It was all relaxed. It was like a little tiny miracle.
So Reiki, it relaxes you? Is that what the feeling is, the feeling of well-being and relaxation?
Okay. you have to be relaxed to be healed. It's mm-hmm. it's a state that you get into when you're sleeping, like a theta state.
That's a brain wave.
The brain waves slow down a little bit, and you can get into that center where things are activating and things mm-hmm. are working through the body. So the first step of Reiki is to kind of put them in a trance. The person is laying there, and you put your hands over their eyes for a few minutes.
Like hypnosis?
It's
a type of hypnosis?
It's not hypnosis, because it's not suggestive. You're mm-hmm. still perfectly awake, but it is a deep relaxation. When you wake up, you feel more relaxed. Mm-hmm. It's the first part of the process.
Okay. Yeah. So you experienced it as a temporary healing of your TMJ?
Yeah.
Did you finally
well, there's other weird things
get completely
too,
healed? Or?
I have one leg that's longer than the other. And so I'm mm-hmm. laying there on the table, and I told them, you know, I have this knee problem and this hip problem because one leg is longer than the other. And I'm laying there, and it's the weirdest feeling. I feel like my leg is growing. It's like, that is so weird. And they're not touching you.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't lay a hand on me. Everything was done by kind of like beaming. Mm-hmm. Like you could just hover your hands over a person. And
that's what I've seen when I've seen it practiced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't actually touch, but you're, what, a few inches away?
You could do either or. It depends on how comfortable that person is with mm-hmm. touch. Like, some people don't want me to put my hands on their face. They might be weird about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't. You know, it depends on the person.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long does the session last?
Normally about an hour.
1 hour.
Yeah. If it's a serious case, it could be longer than an hour. If it's, you know, somebody maybe has, you know, they say there's incurable diseases that Reiki mm-hmm. has been known to cure.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those take extra practitioners, or they take multiple sessions. So it depends on what's going on with that person and how much they need.
Mm-hmm. Take us through a typical session.
Okay.
How you start and how you proceed. And
okay. It's, you know, I like to put on music. So I put the music on and I do a prayer, and I try to change the energy. Like, if I'm in my room.
When you say prayer, is it a generic prayer?
It's a generic Reiki prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, we have this in our book about not getting angry and, mm-hmm. You know, trying to help as many people as possible with this peaceful mindset. And we say, you know, thank you, Reiki. We like, Reiki's not a person or it's, I don't understand the prayer, but I use it anyway.
Mm. Is Reiki
this is what I've been taught.
Is Reiki an energy? Is that what it is?
That's a good question.
It says it's a technique,
also like the Chinese chi.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the
People
Japanese is ki, and the word itself means energy, and then the rei would be the life. So we're putting life energy into people.
Mm-hmm.
And helping
because every living
that.
Thing has an energy to it.
Yeah. Yeah, even rocks.
Rocks.
You know, things that you would think aren't alive, you mm-hmm. know, have energy.
Energy within them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So take us through the typical session.
Okay, so typical session, you're laying down, and I would put my hands over your eyes. I'm trying to get to the third eye. In the center of your brain.
Pineal gland.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you know about that. And then I'll go this way also. And then when you turn over, I try to go through the back of the head. So mm-hmm. this is the center. I focus most of my energy on here. There's parts of your body, the chakras, there'll be like a sphere of energy here, mm-hmm. sphere of energy here, in your stomach, here and here. Mm-hmm. So I go to each part of the body with different hand positions,
mm-hmm.
and the energy goes through my hands into you, gently. Like, you won't feel, there's a TENS machine where they put the sticker on you and they put on the electricity. It's not like that. I've been zapped by those a couple times. It's not like that.
Not
but
like
it's
that. Okay.
It's very gentle, and it is, what's the word for it? It goes through you.
Permeates you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a permeating.
Now, do most people say they can initially feel that energy? Or do some people say, I'm not feeling anything? Or
some people just say, well, I just feel relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
I did work on somebody's knee the other day, where I had both hands on one knee. And in my mind, it was like I was doing surgery to their knee. I could see myself, like, it's like looking into a fourth dimensional x-ray where I can see inside the person's body. Mm-hmm. And then I can see where they needed filling. And I felt like I was adding like a gel in between the joint. Like, I could see myself doing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting chills talking about it. And then when I was done, he goes, your hands felt cold. It felt like there was an ice pack on me. Now, I didn't feel that. But, you know, mm-hmm. people do get different sensations.
They feel warmth sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes yeah. it gets really hot. Mm-hmm. Like really, like very hot.
So you say an hour. Mm-hmm. You don't diagnose, I take it.
Never.
You never diagnose.
Never. That's
so you don't not my find job. Out. You don't find out things Mm-mm. while you're doing it. Or, okay.
I may say what I see, mm-hmm. but I'm not a doctor.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. So how do you end the session? Do you end it with a prayer?
Yep, I do. Mm-hmm. I make sure that the person is sealed. I envision white light around them, mm-hmm. and I close them, and then they call this washing yourself. You get that energy off of you and, you know, kind of brush it off, and then, you know, take it away, mm-hmm. and then it's over. It's closed. It feels a little bit like a ritual to
right.
me. It feels holy, almost. It feels like I'm doing something holy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm connecting to elders, old ways of healing, like with whatever they were doing before doctors were even invented, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing.
you, before we started, you said you are a practitioner, mm-hmm. but you're not a master. And
right.
then you said there's four different levels of mm-hmm. practitioner. Is mm-hmm. that how you describe it?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that, how you advance in the practice of Reiki? How do you do that?
Mostly, it's about taking the class, because you have to be tuned in somehow. They have to open that for you. And so a master is trained how to attune a person. I don't know how to attune somebody. So once I've become a master, then I can also be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at that part where I've been attuned, but I haven't reached the level where I can start passing it on.
What does attuned mean?
It's
exactly. attuned to the person you're working
means,
with?
No, it probably has more to do with a level of sensitivity.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where I'm more sensitive to things than I was before.
I had a question and it escaped me. What are Reiki and I'm having trouble with this. Is a particular lifestyle that relates to Reiki that you would recommend? A lifestyle of diet, exercise, excuse me. Anything like
Again,
that?
Again, it depends on the person. Mm-hmm. I had somebody last week who, for some reason, in my vision, I had some ball given to me, and it looked like a crystal ball,
mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, because I tried to put it into he has a sore shoulder, where I wanted to put the crystal ball in, and then I was corrected. It's not crystal, it's salt. So whatever injury was going on, this person probably needed salts or sea salt or electrolytes. So when I had him, you know, in conversation at the end of the session, I said, you know, is there some type of electrolytes you can take or drink or whatever? That's probably the type of prescription I would give. Like, you need more water, or you know, this is what you could take for sleep. I know a few herbs and things. Like, mm-hmm. I try to help, you know, whatever I know. I'm trying to learn more about that, mm-hmm. too.
Now, during the session, do you speak a lot? Or is it silent and you listen to music?
Sometimes I hear the person snoring, so I don't talk.
Oh, yeah.
But if I think they're awake, I might say what I see, and then the image might not make sense to me, but it might make sense to them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's what happens. I'll see an image, I don't know what this means, but I'll still communicate it. Because there's so many images coming through and coming out as I go through the body that by the end of the session, I forget probably a fourth of them. So I don't want to forget them. I want to, like, try to tell you as I'm going.
Right. Now, when you practice, are the people laying on a table? Are they sitting in a recliner?
Well, you could do a chair because not everybody can lay down. And even in some cases, the person can't even turn over.
Mm-hmm.
So then I could go through the front of the chakra and I can actually penetrate to the back of the chakra from the front. So there's ways to get around that.
I see.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, if a person is bedridden, which I've had, then you can't, they just can't turn over.
Now, does everybody have to come and see you, or do you go see them sometimes?
I do make house calls.
You do?
Yeah. There's a gentleman in his 70s who called me, and he can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the stairs, and he can't make it up the stairs. So in that case, I would make a house call.
Very good.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do is get you to describe the process so that people know what to expect when they come and see you.
Okay.
Because some people are fearful of something new.
Obviously.
And this is new.
It is kind of new. It's also
I've heard of it quite a while ago.
It's also kind of old. It's very ancient.
Right.
Like, it's practiced in India. Mm-hmm. It's practiced in China and Japan. But it hasn't really made its way into the Western world. We have different philosophy with healing. So a lot of times, I'm the last resort. I notice that, you know, people are going to their doctors. They're taking tons of medication. They've been through every different way, and it's still not working, or there's nothing else they can do, then they come to me, which is fine. either way.
You're the last stop.
Pretty much, yeah. And then something will start to happen. It'll start to move. But it works at a mental level. So you might think of something subconsciously that you wouldn't normally think about. You might just feel like going for a walk that day when you didn't normally feel like it. Or you might switch from your crystal light to water. Or something sub... It's not forceful. It's you won't even notice that it's happening, but the changes are so slight that you will start to make those decisions, because it's mental and it's psychological.
Mm-hmm.
It's emotional. Like, if you have a pain that's related to an emotion, and let's say you're having stomach issues. My stomach hurts all the time. I don't know why. I'm taking all these pills for my stomach. Nothing's helping.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it started with worrying about a person, and you're holding that worry right here. Mm-hmm. And so the Reiki, you know, putting my hands there, I'm trying to bring these things out. And if I feel there's a certain emotion, I try to send the opposite emotion. Like, I'll try to send you the feeling of safety, or the feeling that you don't have to worry, that it's okay. And so I'll send the positive message to that part of your body to try to change it.
Mm-hmm. So I would imagine the process of being relaxed helps. Actually, it starts with the decision to go seek treatment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the process of being relaxed, and your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get a handle on this, but I'm having trouble with asking the right directions. Questions.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us your success? Well, how do you measure success?
I would normally say if they come back.
Mm-hmm.
But
so they had a positive experience.
I don't even think it's that serious. I mean, I have had return customers. I always ask them. I call them a week later if there's any changes. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they say no, I don't really believe it. I think it's made some change, because when I'm here with my eyes closed and I'm seeing things and I'm feeling things, I know it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you might not notice or feel it, I'm positive. I'm so sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
That this, as soon as I start seeing things coming up, that I'm in the zone. I'm connecting to your body and your spirit.
Explain channeling again. You mentioned channeling at the beginning.
What? this is a personal belief. Mm-hmm. So if you ask another Reiki person, they might tell it to you differently. But for me, I think your spirit and your body are two different things. Mm-hmm. So once you lose your body, I happen to believe that too. You're still there. You just don't have your five senses. You can't eat anymore. You know, you probably can't smell, or you could travel through time. You don't have to worry about walking places. Mm-hmm. But there are people who in their life were healers. And when they cross over to the other side, I think they're still healers. Mm-hmm. They still do what they do. There's animal healers. Like if I'm working on an animal healer will come through. Like I was working on a cat one time. Mm-hmm. And a cat healer came through and had the most amazing dream, because right after it was like an old cat. And I was like, let me help it pass over peacefully. The next morning, the owner says, my cat died. And I said, I already know that because I had a dream that it was on the other side. It was like a little baby kitten, and these women came and picked it up and took it. Uh-huh. Chills again.
Yeah.
But you can do Reiki on houseplants. You can cleanse a place, like a house. Mm-hmm. You can use it for machinery, they said. I've tried the machinery one. It hasn't worked for me yet. But this is part of the theory. What was your question again? I missed something.
About, now I forget too.
Dang.
That's all right. We'll get back to it.
How did I start this? How do you know it's working?
Oh, the positive feedback from people.
I have had some, I have a Facebook account with the business, so mm-hmm. I have a couple of reviews on there. I'd like to build that up a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
What's the Facebook address? It's Facebook/...
Moonflower Reiki.
Moonflower Reiki.
Mm-hmm, that's
okay,
the name.
So they can look that up.
Yeah,
If they put your name in Facebook, mm-hmm. it'll pop up too, right? It'll be linked.
Well, I have two different. So I have the personal account, Tiffany right. Reisner, and then I have that one.
Right. Okay.
And then I'm also doing Instagram, and I'm also mm-hmm. doing a blog, and right. I've also done like a traditional website just with the, you know, address and phone number.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're now cats. Oh, yes, cats, animals. That's right.
Yep.
So you do Reiki on animals?
I can. Yep.
And what's your best experience doing that besides the cat?
I haven't done a ton of animals.
No.
But I, there was a dog with
Because you prepare differently for an animal.
Yeah, it depends on the animal. Some of them get really uncomfortable. It's almost like as soon as I get my hands near them, they're like, whoa, what's
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
It's like they know. Reiki believes, the people who write Reiki books and stuff think that cats inherently know Reiki. And so I've got these cat pictures of cats doing Reiki on each other, and it's humorous to
yeah.
me. But no, I want to get back to the healers. I do feel like when I'm doing a session that there's a healer there with me. Like I'm not miraculously healing mm-hmm. people all by myself. I can't claim to have that kind of power. I'm more of the channel through which the spirit is helping this spirit
mm-hmm.
in that type of sense, that we're all connecting.
That's kind of the definition of a medium.
Yes. Right. So I'm interested in mediums. I read their books, and like, Sylvia Brown, I read a bunch of her books, and mm-hmm. There's the Long Island medium. I got into that for a little bit. So mm-hmm. this was obviously a path that I was headed towards, and I just didn't mm-hmm. know it.
Yet. Right.
You know, and now I'm here.
And plants. Now,
plants.
Back when mm-hmm. I was young, a long time ago, mm-hmm. There was a book about plants, Curlian photography, and all that, the life force of plants.
Mm.
You could talk to your plants, and they'd actually thrive and do better.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that relate to doing Reiki with plants or on plants?
If you have a sick plant, mm-hmm. I would do Reiki on it.
Yeah.
Or I even feel bad for trees that get cut down. Like, I want to do Reiki for them. But, there is, like you said, a life force. If you haven't heard of the Rice Experiment, look it up on YouTube.
Tell us.
Type in Rice Experiment. There are people who will cook rice in one pot, same rice, mm-hmm. but they'll separate the same batch into different jars. And they'll put this jar over here and that jar over there, and then they'll visit the jar each day of rice and put their hands around it, and they'll think something to it like, I love you. And the rice will stay white for months. And then they go over there to that other jar. I hate you. You're the worst batch of rice ever. You're terrible, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. And the rice turns moldy and black and gross and nasty. Yeah. And this experiment's been done by so many people.
that experiment being done with plants.
Yes.
The same thing with plants.
Even with people, you can...
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, send that energy to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, encourage people to come and visit you, what would you say?
I would say try it. I would also tell them to look into it if they want to read about it first, mm-hmm. or
to
ask
feel more
people.
Comfortable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not scary at all. There's nothing malicious happening, like some fear that, you know, you're tapping into something that you shouldn't be playing with.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
if I saw a Ouija board, I'd run for the hills.
Right, I would too.
You know, there's certain things I don't mess with. Mm-hmm. I'm working with white light, positive mm-hmm. energy.
Right.
I'm working with healing. And in the Reiki books, they say it's actually impossible for that to happen, that only good can come of it.
Right.
And good will always come of it. And it's just part of the process.
Okay, do you have a phone number?
Uh-huh.
Okay, could you tell us your phone number?
Sure, it's 207-290-1216.
Okay, email address?
I don't really
use
email.
You don't use email?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you didn't get my email last night, I know that, so that's true.
And, like once a week.
how much do you charge?
Right
now. Do you have a sliding scale?
Yeah, it started at 20 just to get people in.
Mm-hmm.
And this month, no. Was it
and that's
March?
For 1 hour?
Yeah, for
is
one
it?
Hour.
Okay.
I'd like 40.
That would be your 40s. Standard rate?
40 is a good rate. some people charge between 50 and 100.
Mm-hmm.
In North Conway, I've seen them charge 100.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there are, you know, I don't know if because they're masters, they can do that. Maybe
when I'm
a master someday, I can charge more.
Yeah.
But while I'm a practitioner, also too, I just want to help people. If they don't have the money, I don't mind bartering or
mm-hmm.
working something out with them.
Okay.
You know, but you have to put something in to get the energy back because
right.
there's energy and money,
mm-hmm.
and it's all part of the circle.
Yeah.
So you can't just not pay for it and expect results.
Well, that's the basic tenet of life. What you put in,
yeah.
you take out.
Yeah,
right.
So the more you put in, probably the more you'll get back.
Sure.
You know? But I think 40 is a fair number.
Fair price. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much
thank
for being
you.
Here. The last question I always ask
mm-hmm.
is, what's your favorite movie and why?
I have a
put,
few
put
favorites.
It right on the spot.
I know, right? gosh, it's a hard choice. There, it's tied between The Color Purple and Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, okay.
I like movies where people are fighting and struggling to be free,
mm-hmm.
and in the end, they get it.
Right.
They break free.
Very good. I like Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on At Large. And we'll see you next time.